Welcome to People in America in VOA Special English. At the beginning of the 20th century, American laborers often worked long hours for little pay. Many worked under extremely dangerous conditions. About 500,000 workers, however, had joined groups called labor unions, hoping to improve their situation. Today, Rich Kleinfeld and Sarah Long tell about five labor leaders who work to improve conditions for American workers.
In 1900, the largest national organization of labor unions was the American Federation of Labor. Its head was Samuel Gompers. Gompers had moved to New York with his parents when he was 13 years old. He was 24 when he began working for the local union of cigar makers. He worked for the labor movement for 60 years.
Samuel Gompers had helped create the AFL in the late 1880s. He led the organization for all but 1 year until his death in 1924. Gompers defined the purpose of the labor movement in America. He also established the method used to solve labor disputes. Gompers thought unions should work only to increase wages, improve work conditions, and stop unfair treatment of workers. He called his method pure and simple unionism. Samuel Gompers sought immediate change for workers. He used group actions, such as strikes, as a way to force company owners to negotiate.
Gompers was criticized for going to social events with industry leaders and for compromising too easily with employers. But Gompers believed such actions helped his main goal. He believed if workers were respected, their employers would want to make working conditions better. Under the leadership of Samuel Gompers, the labor movement won its first small gains. For example, the federal government recognized the right of workers to organize. That happened when union representatives were part of the National War Labor Board during World War I.
John L. Lewis expanded the American labor movement with a campaign he called Organizing the Unorganized. Lewis was head of the United Mine Workers of America. He also was the vice president of the AFL. In 1935, Lewis formed the Committee for Industrial Organization within the AFL. He wanted the CIO to organize workers in mass production industries, such as the automobile industry. The AFL mainly organized unions of workers who had the same skills. But Lewis believed skilled and unskilled workers in the same industry should be organized into the same union. Congress passed the National Labor Relations Act in 1935. It gave workers the legal right to join unions and to negotiate with employers. John L. Lewis thought it was the right time to press the large industries to recognize workers' rights. The AFL, however, decided not to support such action and expelled the unions that belonged to the CIO. In 1936, the CIO began operating as another national labor organization. Lewis was its leader.
John L. Lewis was an extremely colorful and effective speaker. He had worked as a coal miner and could relate to the most terrible conditions workers faced. More than 3 million workers joined the CIO in its first year as a separate organization. For the first time, labor won many strikes and permanent improvements in workers' conditions. For many years, presidents, members of Congress, and business leaders considered John L. Lewis the voice of labor. And American workers saw Lewis as their hero. By the 1950s, the labor movement was an established part of American life.
Walter Reuther was the vice president of the CIO under Lewis and became its president in 1952. Reuther believed unions had a social responsibility. His ideas were partly influenced by his German father, who was a socialist. Walter Reuther was trained to make tools to cut metal. He joined the United Automobile Workers Union when it first formed in 1935.
Walter Reuther was president of the United Auto Workers for 23 years, beginning in 1946. He shaped the UAW into one of the most militant and forward-looking unions. He held strikes to gain increased wages for workers, but at the same time, he expected workers to increase their rate of production. He was the first to link pay raises to productivity increases. Reuther also was greatly concerned about civil rights and the environment. In 1955, Reuther helped the AFL and CIO rejoin as one organization. Reuther's ideas were recognized worldwide, but they also brought him enemies. He survived 3 murder attempts. He said, "You have to make up your mind whether you are willing to accept things as they are or whether you are willing to try to change them."
A. Philip Randolph is known for combining the labor and civil rights movements. Randolph became involved with unions in 1925. A group of black workers on passenger trains asked him to organize a union, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters. Randolph was not a laborer. He was the college-educated son of a minister. He published a socialist magazine in New York City. He was known as a fighter for black rights. Randolph strongly believed that economic conditions affected rights and power for African Americans. For 12 years, Randolph fought the Pullman Company that employed the passenger train workers. In 1935, Pullman finally agreed to negotiate with the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters. 2 years later, the Porters' Union signed the first labor agreement between a company and a black union. A. Philip Randolph led the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters for 43 years. In 1957, he became vice president of the AFL-CIO. Randolph used large group protests to change work conditions. He planned marches on the Capitol in Washington to protest the unequal treatment of black workers by the government. In 1963, Randolph planned the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. At this huge, peaceful gathering, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. made his famous I Have a Dream speech. Within a year, the Civil Rights Amendment passed, guaranteeing equal rights for blacks and other minorities.
Cesar Chavez created the first farmers' union in 1962. That union later became the United Farm Workers of America. Farm workers had been considered too difficult to organize. They worked during growing seasons. Many farm workers did not speak English or were in the country illegally. Farm workers earned only a few dollars each hour. They often lived in mud shelters and had no waste removal systems. Many farm workers were children.
Cesar Chavez went to school for only 8 years, but he read a lot. He was greatly influenced by the ideas of famous supporters of nonviolence, such as Indian leader Mahatma Gandhi. Chavez led his workers on marches for better pay and conditions. Workers walked hundreds of miles carrying cloth banners with the Spanish words, Viva la causa, long live our cause.
Cesar Chavez created a new strike method called a boycott. People refused to buy products of a company accused of treating farm workers badly. Chavez also publicized the dangers of some farm chemicals. Cesar Chavez improved the conditions of farm workers by making their mistreatment a national issue.
Union membership has dropped sharply since its high point in the 1940s. Yet conditions for American workers continue to improve as employers realize that treating their workers well is good for business. The efforts of leaders of the American labor movement during the past 100 years continue to improve the lives of millions of workers.
This special English program was written by Linda Burchill and produced by Paul Thompson. The announcers were Rich Kleinfeld and Sarah Long. I'm Faith Lapidus. Join us again next week for another People in America program in VOA Special English.